So I will be talking about marginal deformation and creation of codimension greater than or equal to 2 solitons on bone antibone pair. And this is based on these two works that I have done with Asuncion. And my talk will be basically divided into two parts. The first part will contain the general method of the construction for these higher codimension solitons. And in the later part of my talk, I will apply it to a particular example in this particular background. Okay, so first let me start with some relevant facts about D-bones and type 2 theories. So we know that apart from the stable BPS D-bones, we have unstable D-bones in type 2 theories, and they do not carry any charges. And also one can construct from starting from BPS D-bones or anti-D-bones, then anti-D-bone pair, which is also unstable. And the instability of this non-BPS D-bones or bone antibone pair is due to presence of tachyon in the open string spectrum. Okay. Now, same note the following proposal that all the lower dimensional bones can be obtained by creating a tachyonic soliton of suitable codimension on these unstable non-BPS D-bones or bone antibone system. And for a pink-like solution or a codimension non-soliton, the construction in the language of CFT was already known, and it's a kind of continuous deformation on the CFT of parent bone antibone system. And my aim will be to verify this conjecture for codimension greater than one tachyonic solitons, and I will give an explicit construction within the boundary conformality theory. So before going into the details of this construction, let me take note of the following things, that I will exclusively deal with bone antibone system, but one can easily generalize this construction to non-BPS D-bone. And since I will start with a bone antibone pair and I will deform it by a set of marginal deformations, and also I will exclusively deal with codimension 2 solitons from this bone antibone pair, so ultimately I will end up with a zero charge configuration of bone antibone system of 2 lower dimension. Okay, now let me just figure out one thing, that if such interpretation is true, that if I want to interpret the soliton configuration on the bone antibone system as lower dimensional bones, then the energy outside the core of this soliton should be zero. Otherwise it will be meaningless to interpret as a lower dimension bone. So let us take, try to interpret this in the following diagram. Let us take an example of D string and TD string in type 2D, and let X be the direction where they are stretched along, and these are the four kinds of strings on this kind this bone antibone system. Since we know that they have got tachyon in the coming from the open string connecting this bone and antibones, and if I denote that tachyon field by T, so it's clear that the partiality tachyon is here, where the Vt is zero and the potential looks like this. And if I assume that this potential has got a minimum, and let us call that it is T equal to T naught, then from the structure of this potential, we can say that we can construct at least qualitatively a kink-like soliton on this object, D string and TD string, which stretches along the direction X and takes values in the asymptotes T naught and minus T naught. Then the energy density of this solitonic core should vanish outside this core, and this gives rise to this important result, that which says that the potential of the tachyon at its minimum should cancel the bone antibone tension, and I can then interpret this solitonic core as D0 bone in type 2B. (Clears throat) Okay. So now I will give you a strategy that I will follow in the talk to construct the lower dimensional bends. First, I will identify a set of exactly marginal deformation on the parent DP-DP system, which will take us to a bend anti-bend pair of two lower dimension. In the next step, I will part off the BCFT of the parent bend anti-bend system by these deformations. And finally, I will show that at the end of this perturbation, the boundary conformal field theory will be left with is that of bend anti-bend system of two lower dimensions. For example, one can start with a pair of D2-D2 bar system, and one can get a pair of D0-D0 bar, and this is the example I will deal with exclusively. Or one can start with two pairs of D4-D4 bar system and can construct co-dimension 4 solitons on this subject to get two pairs of D0-D0 bar system. Okay. So this is the example I will deal with, the first example, where I will construct co-dimension 2 soliton on a single D2-D2 bar pair in type 2A. So before going into the construction, let us ask the following question: what should be the nature of this tachyonic soliton if I want to interpret as a co-dimension 2 object? Suppose x1 and x2 are the tangential directions of the D2 bends, and if I complexify the coordinates, then we know that if I am going to get vortex-like objects on from the tachyon on the bend anti-bend system, then it should behave as a z-bar in near the core. Then I will call it a vortex, or it should go like Z near the core. Then I can identify it as an anti-vortex. And after our construction, we should check it explicitly. Okay. So now I will identify all the marginal deformations that I am going to switch on one by one. So in the first step, this is a very trivial step, where I will compactify these two tangential reactions, x1 and x2, on radii r1 and r2. In the next step, I will put two z2 Wilson lines, w1 and w2, along x1 and x2, only on the antibrain. And these are the structures of these two Wilson lines. They are non-trivial only on the anti-D2 brain. So that's why this minus 1 coming here. And the superscripts here, they refer to the D2 bend and the anti-D2 bend. Now, what is the effect of this Z2 Wilson lines? We know that the tachyon, which is charged under the difference of the gauge fields living on the bend and anti-bend, definitely these Wilson lines will modify the momentum quantization rule of this tachyon. So, as we go along x1 or x2 by a 1 period, then this tachyon will become antiperiodic. And so, the Fourier modes of this tachyon will contain only half integral modes. So we can write down the Fourier expansion for these tachyonic modes. And one can easily write down the mass formula for these typical modes n plus half, n minus n plus half in the alpha prime equal to 1 unit. And this is the formula. And from this formula, one can easily check that there are no tachyonic modes if I restrict my moduli in this region, where R1 and R2 satisfy this relation. So in this region, this wrap D2-D2 system becomes stable. And also one can find out the massless tachyonic modes. And for if R1 and R2 satisfy this equation, then these four modes, T plus minus half and plus minus half, they become massless.
So in the T-dual picture, you have two one-brains, and you're moving them apart until they're at exactly the distance where the tachyon becomes massless, is that?
Yeah, T-dual, yeah. I mean, if you consider two D0 brains, if you T-dualize along both X1 and X2. Yeah, this is the tachyon stretch between the D0 and D0 bar brain.
I don't
think I'm going to
separate. So usually it's just going.
If they sit on top of each other, they will start separating them.
Right. So at this stage, all we can say is that this vertex operator corresponding to these modes, four modes, they are marginal but not necessarily exactly marginal. Now I will go into the boundary conformal field theory analysis and will show that only at R1 equal to R2 equal to 1, certain linear combination of these four modes become exactly marginal, and hence I can switch on the wave of these corresponding modes. And I will deform the boundary conformal field theory of the D2, D2 bar system. So now let me go into the details of the boundary conformal field theory description. And I will call this particular radii R1 and R2 equal to 1 to be the critical radii. So first I will identify the fields which directly enter in my calculations. And my convention is the following, that left moving will be the holomorphic and right moving will be the anti-holomorphic part. And the relevant fields are the following. Xi, the tangential directions, and their super partners, I will call them chi. And also all the ghost and super ghost fields, DC and beta gamma. And I have written down once and for all the OPs for these fields. And also there are spectator fields which will not directly enter in our calculation. They are, and I will call them spectator fields. They are the transverse directions, for example, also the time coordinates, and their super partners, chi ends. So now let me write down the boundary conditions for these fields. Now since we are interested in the tachyon, so we will be interested only in the Nebu-Schwartz sector of the open string spectrum, but similarly one can write down the boundary conditions in the Ramon sector also. And in the Nebu-Schwartz sector, first in the matter sector, it is obvious that these fields, tangential direction fields and their super partners, they satisfy Neumann boundary conditions, and the transverse fields and their super partners satisfy Dirichlet boundary conditions. And in the ghost sectors, all the super ghost and ghost fields, they satisfy Neumann boundary condition. In particular, this cap phi that I have written down explicitly because that enters in the calculation. Okay. So now let me write down the vertex operator for those four modes, p plus minus half in both pictures, minus 1 and 0. And since I'm dealing with a tachyon which lives on the D2 D2 bar system, so it's a complex tachyon, so it has got a real part and an imaginary part. So I will take the Cp factor to be sigma 1 for the real part and the sigma 2 for the imaginary part. And this is the vertex operator in minus 1 picture, and similarly the vertex operator in 0 picture. So now I will show that this becomes exactly marginal at this particular radii R1 equal to R2 equal to 1. So for that I will just, as a matter of convenience, change my variables to y's and psi's. They are just a rotation of the coordinate system. And in terms of these new coordinates, psi and y's, the vertex operator for those particular modes, I mean the particular linear combination of those four modes, in the zero picture they become proportional to the cosine of the y's, and in the minus one picture they become proportional to the sine of y's. So now next come the crucial step in this construction, which is fermionization and later on rebosonization. So the motivation is to give an equivalent description of the boundary conformal field theory in terms of new variables at this critical radii R1 equal to R2 equal to 1, such that it becomes easier to give the proof of exact marginality of this particular vertex operator Zt. So as a first step, at this particular critical radii, I will fermionize the bosonic variables yi's in favor of these Meyer-Noether fermions xi and eta. And these tau i's, or also I will replace the psi's by psi times tau 3, these are the co-cycle factors required for correct commutation anti-commutation relations between these fields. and they are basically 2 cross 2 Pauli matrices. Next, given this Majorana-Weyl fermion xi, eta and psi, one can recombine them in a other way. For example, if I combine psi with xi, then I can get a new boson which I will call phi and the corresponding cocycle factors. Or similarly, one can combine eta with psi to get another boson, which I haven't yet written down, but that doesn't enter in the calculations. But one can do that. So now, clearly from this definition, these new variables, bosonic variables phi, they are compact bosons, and their radii is equal to root 2. And one can work out the boundary conditions for all these new fields, xi, eta and phi, if I translate the new boundary conditions of the old variables, and they all satisfy Naumann boundary conditions at the boundary. And one can also write down the U1 currents. For example, the product of psi with xi will give me del of phi, product of eta with psi will give me del of phi. Now, with all these given relations of fermionization and bosonization and these U1 currents, one can write down the final expression for the vertex operator Vt in terms of these new variables, and it turns out to be sum of two terms, and they are commuting. And note the presence of the importance of the cocycle factors, unless otherwise they will be anti-commuting. And what is the interpretation of this thing? So they are basically Wilson lines along these compact directions phi1 or phi2 corresponding to some gauge field a phi1 and a phi2. And we know that Wilson line is a exactly marginal deformation. One can switch on any amount of waves for those. So these are some. So basically, Vt becomes sum of two commuting Wilson lines, and hence Vt is an exactly marginal deformation at this particular radii.
Question?
Yeah.
So you understand a similar thing just in the case where you take two D0 brains and you move them, or a D0 brain and an anti-D0 in flat space, and you move them to a certain distance? Do you still have an exactly marginal deformation associated with the tachyon that becomes massless?
Yeah, I mean, one can, if you consider the D0 bar system, and if you consider the tachyonic modes, I mean, if you, this is in the TBL picture, becomes D0 bar system at half shifted point, lattice point. So if you consider the tachyon stretch between, from the open string stretch between D0 and D0 bar system, and you can think of the, you can get the particular mode which becomes massless at that particular radii.
Yeah.
And one can show that this becomes exactly marginal if you at this particular critical radii R1 equal to R2 equal to 1.
And do we know another description of what happens if you move along that marginal direction?
Yeah, what are you turning on?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm wondering. So, I mean, what is that thing after you turn on that marginal mode a little bit?
Yeah, I will turn on the reason. Yeah, I will describe it. No, I will describe the D2 system.
Okay, there.
Yeah.
There you're basically turning on D0 brains, right?
Yeah, I'll ultimately get the D0 brains, right?
So what happens if you turn it on
if you're starting with D0 system and try to do the same thing with these tachyonic modes, they will basically stretch actually.
They will.
Stretch and becomes D2 system.
So you get like a little
two.
It's a little bit like the
Mayas.
Yeah.
No, it's just in the terms of CFP language, I will lose two, for example, here I will lose two Naumann directions in favor of two Dirichlet directions. Or there in terms of D0 system, I will lose two Dirichlet directions in favor of two Naumann directions.
So you like get a little tube of D2
brain. D2 brain stretched along, I mean, two non stretch along the non-compact directions. Okay. I mean, for example, if you start with a non-BPS D string of type 2A on some particular orbifold and take the tachyonic mode which comes from the moment carrying modes along, suppose you take the string of type 2 along x1 and consider the open string which carries momentum along x1 and find and take the tachyonic mode from that, and if you go to a particular radius that will become massless, and if you condense that tachyon you will get BPS D0 and D0 system which sits at the orbifold fixed points. And if you now if you try to do similar thing with a winding mode tachyon in terms of D0 system, it will be winding mode tachyon. Then if you condense that tachyon, that ultimately the that stretches the brains. I mean, you will get a brain of higher dimensions depending upon the tachyon I will condense on. So at this stage, it's not clear. I can turn on any wave for this particular exactly marginal deformation that I have written down, the Vt, and I will call the wave for this particular passless modes to be alpha. And at this stage, the value of alpha can be anything, but I will show later that consistency will require alpha to be equal to 1. Okay, and I will come to in a moment, because that's the next stage. I will further turn on another marginal deformation. And the normalization of alpha is a particular one. It's clear that alpha is a periodic variable since it's a wave of Wilson lines. And it's, I have normalized it in such a way its period becomes 2. And now in terms of the for finite alpha, one can write down the tachyonic background. And it is a product of two exponentials with factors del phi 1 and del phi 2. And this I am going to turn on. Okay, so once we have given this the vertex operator in the minus 1 picture, one can get the solitonic background immediately by looking at this minus 1 picture vertex operator. And the solitonic background basically has got two terms, real part and imaginary part, and both of them become sine of x1 plus x2, and this is sine of x1 minus x2. Okay, so given the solitonic background, one can ask where are the cores of this the solitons. So if I find out the core of the soliton, I get the following solution. The cores are located at these two points, diagonally opposite points, x1 equal to x2 equal to 0 and x1 equal to x2 equal to pi. And and also one can find out the behavior of this the soliton near the cores. So near 0, 0, this function behaves as z bar, so I can identify it with a vortex. And near pi, comma pi, it behaves as z, so I can identify with anti-vortex. So from the wall volume picture on the D2 bar system, I have two soliton, one soliton and one another anti-soliton situated at the diametrically opposite points, namely at 0, 0 and pi, comma pi. So at the next stage, I should identify them. My task is to identify these vortex and anti-vortex with the D0 and D0 bar system. And that I will do from the conformal field theory point of view. So for that I will have to calculate the correct the spectrum of D0 D0 bar system. So the next step is to find the open string spectrum at alpha equal to 1. But for the time being, let's forget about the value of alpha. So I will just give you the principles how to find out the open string spectrum. First, let us start with the open string Hilbert space at alpha equal to 0. Now, I have shown you that the conformal field theory at the particular radii r1 equal to r2 equal to 1 have different equivalent representations in terms of those fermionization and bosonization relations. And one can work in any representation one want. So since we know that the vertex operator Vt I have written down, that is expressed in terms of phi 1 and phi 2, so it will be easier to work in the representation where all the states are created from the vertex operators containing phi 1 and its super partners, which turns out to be eta, and also label the open string states with their corresponding co-cycle factors and chamfered factors. And the next step, find out the charge carried by the different open string states under the gauge fields represented by the VT naught. That is quite easier. Just look at the corresponding CP cross co-cycle factors of all those states, and you know the co-cycle factors co-cycle and chamfered factors carried out by these operators. So one can easily find out which states are charged and which states are not charged. And once in the next stage, I'm going to turn on this Wilson line corresponding to VT naught. So the charged states will be affected because their momentum will be shifted correspondingly, and the neutral states will remain unaltered. So one can lift the neutral states from alpha equal to 0 to alpha equal to 1 as it is, and just calculate what happens to the charged states at the alpha equal to 1. So now I just will give you the results of this whole analysis, what happens. And one finds that the spectrum for alpha equal to 1 becomes identical to the spectrum for alpha equal to 0. So it may be quite surprising at first sight, but now we have to look at the response of the system at alpha equal to 1 compared to alpha equal to 0 to the perturbation of radii. Because ultimately we should find out our final products to be where x1 and x2 are non-compact. So we have to switch on the radius deformation also. So I will just summarize what I have done up till now in this diagram on our alpha plane. So for just for convenience, I have taken R1 equal to R2 equal to R. So the first stage, I have reduced this R to a particular critical value 1. At the next step, I switched on two Wilson lines, which I have not shown in the figure, on the D2 bar brain. Next step, I have switched on the particular tachyonic modes, which becomes exactly marginal at this critical radii. So that is the deformation along alpha. And now I should once again switch on the radius deformation, because I want to get back the system at infinite radii. So this will be my step 4. And here I will find some difficulties, because no longer the theory no longer remain conformal unless otherwise alpha takes value 0 or 1.
And running this in reverse is exactly
a D0 to D2. Yeah, right. So here I will get the conformal field theory of D0 to D0 bar. If you run backwards, you can get the conformal field theory of Okay, so just write down, let me write down the vertex operator for the radius deformation. I will take a slightly generalized bulk perturbation, which contains also of diagonal terms. And in terms of old variables, this is Kij, del Xi, del Xj. And correspondingly, it is Aij, del Yi, del J in terms of new variables. And this is the relation between K and K matrix. So now, as soon as I turn on this particular radius deformation at any generic value of alpha, I run into a trouble. So the problem is the following. So in the presence of this radius deformation and also the background I have turned on, the alpha, I will call this alpha background corresponding to VT naught, let us calculate the one-point function of the particular massless mode, tachyonic mode I am considering. And if I consider this correlation function, okay, I should mention that all my considerations are limited to the pre-level of open string theory. So I'm calculating only the disk diagram. And if I calculate this disk diagram in presence of this background for any value of alpha, I see that this particular mode has got a one-point function, non-vanishing one-point function, and which only vanishes at this particular, it's proportional to sine of alpha pi, and it vanishes only at this value, alpha equal to 0 and 1. And remember that alpha is a periodic variable of period 2. Now, alpha equal to 0 is a trivial background. It has no tachyon background. So if I switch on the radius deformation at alpha equal to 0, I will get back my original system, D2, D2 bar system. So only the non-trivial point is this alpha equal to 1, and I should turn on the radius deformation at this particular point. So now, next task is to find what happens when I turn on the finite radius deformation. So that means I have to insert multiple number of radius deformation operators within the disk, and here they are. These are all the radius deformation operators scattered within the disk, and I have the alpha background with particular value alpha equal to 1, and in presence of this, let us calculate a particular correlation function of open string states, and this is the typical correlation function that I am going to calculate. Now, what is the net result of this thing? First, the presence of this background corresponding to Vt naught, which I am calling alpha background, is the following: that on the open string states, they will on the open string states, their effect will be just to modify their phi 1, phi 2 momentum. And after taking into account those those things on the open string states, let us study the effect of the above correlation function. What is the effect on the bulk perturbation, each bulk perturbation? It turns out that one has to replace each bulk perturbation operator, which looks like this, by this, which is exponential of del phi 1 minus exponential of del phi 2 times this. And now you can calculate, if you express these y's in terms of the new variables phi 1, phi 2, and one can calculate these are basically the computing the phi 1, phi 2 winding numbers of these particular operators, and one can find that one picks up this extra minus sign, or in terms of the old variables is the following. So what's happening actually? So if I go back to this diagram, all this thing, is the following. If I want to compute the, if I want to increase the radius at this point of alpha equal to 1, it says that you can compute it at alpha equal to 0 if you reduce the radii. Okay? So the effect is the following. I am going to get a system of D2 D2R, where R1 and R2 goes to 0. But that means I am going to get a D0 D0 system for infinite radii. So that's the next step I am going to do. I am going to identify my variables where I will replace these x's in favor of the new variables x hat, and the x hats are defined in this way, basically key dual variables. So the final outcome of this calculation is the following. If we are deforming the x on xi radii from 1 to ri in presence of the tachyon background with alpha equal to 1 is equivalent to deforming the x hat radii from 1 to ri with no tachyon background. And if I look at the boundary conditions for these x hats, they have satisfied Dirichlet boundary conditions. So I've got two extra Dirichlet directions. So already I have identified from the wall volume point of view of D2 D2 system the vortex anti-vortex pair. So now I can interpret the spectrum of open string states living on the vortex anti-vortex pair at the diametrically opposite points on a D2 D2 system wrapped on a torus is equivalent to the spectrum of open string states living on a D0 D0 brain pair at the diametrically opposite points of the brain. So we can identify finally the vortex anti-vortex pair with the D0 and D0 over system. Okay. So now just a few comments for the generalization to the case of higher co-dimension solitons. And it can be easily generalized for any even or odd co-dimensional solitons. There are a few differences in the analysis. Let me just point it out. First, the number of parent antiparent pairs should be more. One pair is not enough. For example, if I want to get a 2n or 2n minus 1 co-dimensional solitons, one has to start with 2 to the power n minus 1 pairs of brain antiparent. And also, if you recall the step 2 of our analysis, we have to switch on Z2 Wilson lines along each tangential directions of the DT bar brain. But this time we have to put Z4 Wilson lines along each compact tangential directions of both brains and antibrains. And also, if we want to get odd codimensional solitons like this 2 n minus 1, starting from 2 to the power n minus 1 pairs of brain antibrain, the critical radii up to 2 n minus 2 should be 1, and the 2 n minus 1 radii radius should be 1 over square root of 2. And also, we have carried out the process for a pair of brain antibrain system. One can easily generalize it for non-DPS brains. Okay, now I will go to a particular example where I have applied this general method in a particular background. So we shall consider a non-DPS D-string of type 2A on a Calabiro 3-fold or E-fold with this particular Hodge numbers 11,11. And one can easily find out the region of stability in the moduli space. And beyond the region of stability, the system becomes unstable because it shows the appearance of the tachyon. And there are various tachyons coming from various open strings stretched between the D string and its various images. But I will particularly concentrate on the tachyon which comes from the D string and it's this particular image. I will come to this I4 prime in a moment.
The D string is transverse to the collaborator?
Okay, I'll show you the construction. Yeah. It's along one of the directions of the Calabio. Okay, so now the instability points out to the fact that it exists a stable lower energy configuration which the initial system can decay into. And it turns out the configuration is a configuration which it can decay into is a pair of non-VPS D3 brains. And we prove it by using the method described earlier. We found the massless modes from the tachyon mentioned above at the critical radii and show that it is an exactly marginal deformation at those particular value of T radii. Sorry, A is missing here. Okay, so now I will show the construction of this orbifold and also in the next transparency the configuration. So the orbifold is the following. It's start with T6 spanned by X4, X5 up to X9 and modded out by two Z2 transformation I4 and I4 prime, where I4 is basically acts by reversal on these four coordinates and I4 prime has got two half shift along X6 and X8. So only I4 produces fixed points in either I4 prime or I4 I4 prime. And this particular orbifold becomes Calabiro 3-fold with these Hodge numbers and it preserves 1-4 supersymmetry. And the configuration is the following. I will take a non-BPS D string and wrap it along X line such that it covers the whole of the fundamental cell of X line. And other coordinates are the following. These are the non-compact directions. These are the compact directions. And I should work with a I4, I4 prime invariant configuration and this configuration is certainly not this is I4 invariant configuration but not I4 prime invariant configuration. And if I take into its I4 prime image which is located at this point, then these original D string together with its I4 prime image, they become an I4 prime, I4 prime invariant configuration.
So is this contractible? Is that what you're, can you take the, it's a closed D-string, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can you contract it within the topology of the manifold?
You mean you want to reduce the radius R9?
Well, let me see.
Well, I will actually put a... No, actually I will...
deformation that will bring it to a point.
No, actually I put a restriction on the R9 because otherwise there will be tachyon coming from the modes which carries momentum along X9. So I will restrict the moduli in a particular way.
Okay. But I thought
that quantum yields
don't have
no trivial one cycles,
for example.
Yeah, but this is in the orbifold picture. It's basically a D2 brain wrapped over some non-supersymmetric cycle.
Yes. Okay.
Non-symmetric symmetric two cycle. This particular. It's in the orbital picture.
Okay, it
looks.
D-string or D-string?
No, it's in the orbital picture.
Yes.
It looks like a D string.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. But if you go to the blown up limit, then it becomes actually a D two brain wrapped over a non-symmetric symmetric cycle, two cycle, which collapses to a line in the orbital limit. And also similarly, the end product D three brain will become some D four brain on wrapped on some trivial four cycle.
So it's living at
one of the fixed points. Yeah. Okay. So in this slide, I haven't shown those restrictions on the particular radii of R9 or R6 or R8 that can be easily found out. But because I am interested only in the tachyon coming from the D string and its I4 prime image, so one can find out the absence of this tachyon on the D1 brain system is the following. It's given by this condition on R6 and R8. And if one try to work back from the D3 brain system, and if I want to find out when does this pair of D3 brain system become stable, it is in this region of the moduli. And now, given the above mentioned instability due to the particular tachyon, we will compare the energies of the initial and final configuration, and we get an interesting phase diagram of the R6 R8 plane. The following, it has got four particular regions. Okay, so the curve, violet curve is the circle. Curve C, this curve A is this particular curve, and blue curve is the rectangular hyperbola R6 R8 equal to 1, and it breaks the region of stability into four parts. Now I will explain these four parts. So in the region 1 within the circle, the D3 brain system becomes stable, but the D1 brain system has taken and it becomes unstable. And in region 2, the opposite thing happens. The D1 brain system becomes stable, but now the D3 brain has got a tachyon and becomes unstable. Interesting thing happens in the region 3 and 4, where neither D1 brain or D3 brain has got any tachyon. But if you compute the mass in these regions, you get that the mass of the D3 brain system becomes larger than the mass of the D1 brain system. So in a sense, D1 brain system is a stable, whereas the D3 brain system is a metastable state. And the reverse occurs in the region 4, where D3 brain system is in the stable configuration and D1 brain system becomes metastable. So if you study the nature of the transition, using the methods discussed earlier, we can show that there exists a set of exactly marginal deformations at R6, R8 equal to 1. And hence, the non-BPS D1 brain pair can be deformed continuously to non-BPS D3 brain. So if I go through this point across region 1 and region 2, it's a second order phase transition. But across any other point on this curve B, it's a transition from the region 3 to 4 across this curve B. So it's a stable metastable transition, and it's a first order transition, and we couldn't do much in this region. Okay. So now I will give the conclusion. So first, the unstable non-BPS D-brains or brain antibrain pairs in type 2 theories, they contain tachyon in the particular spectrum, and in some region of the moduli space they can be stabilized. Then we show that at a particular point on the boundary of this region of stability in the moduli space, one can find a massless mode of the tachyon which has an exactly vanishing potential, and it takes the original configuration to a co-dimension 2 soliton anti-soliton pair. And from the confound field theory point of view, this represents an exactly marginal deformation which with we can deform the parent BCFT of the brain anterior system or the non-BPST brain. And finally, this BCFT of brain anterior pair along with the soliton antisoliton pair is actually shown to be the BCFT of brain anterior pair of two lower dimension. And such analysis within first quantile string theory gives rise to a definite prediction on the nature of the tachyon potential and also on the structure of non-perturbative vacuum of open string field theory, on which a lot of work is going on right now. Thanks.
Question about the D0 bar system. I guess if you've compactified on a T2 and you put these two and you go to the critical radius and you put the D0 and the D0 bar exactly on typical points, mm-hmm. the picture you just described works very clearly. Mm-hmm. What if you had just flat space and you took a D0 and a D0 bar and you separated them to the point where there was a marginal direction? Would that then be not exactly marginal?
It requires, to compactify first the directions, and then if I go along this process, if I want to get them by just marginal deformations, then I have to compactify on them on some torus and then proceed. Otherwise, this I have to switch on suitable Wilson lines, or I have to get this particular exactly marginal deformation of the tachyon. That will not work actually. So these are the set of prescriptions, set of marginal deformations to get, in the language of CFT continuously, to get any lower dimensional brains starting from any higher dimensional brains.
Right. Okay, but let's forget about the higher dimensional brains for a moment. If you just took a D0 and a D0 bar, and you ignored anything about D2,
right.
There is a certain distance between them where the tachyon becomes exactly massless.
Okay.
I guess what I'm wondering is, can you move a finite direction along that apparently marginal direction, or is there some obstacle to moving more than just an infinitesimal amount? I mean, is that really an exactly marginal direction, or just a...
Which direction are you talking about? I don't understand.
The direction associated with the tachyon which has become massless at that point.
Okay, I'm not sure about whether it will be exactly marginal or not.
Generally it wouldn't be, because generically the first order condition is the C11. What's the first order condition for me marginal?
It should be 1, 1, 1 perturbation.
Right, the next order condition is the operator particle itself not contain itself. I think that's what
Right.
Which clearly will be satisfied because that would be odd. I mean, it's mod 2 parity.
I was just saying, even at that order, it's not going to be.
It's okay. First order, I think at that order, it is okay.
I just want to mention one point, that if one to get this exactly marginal deformation, then one has to check order by order in the conformal perturbation theory.
Right.
Here I have, going back to this particular critical radii, I managed to reduce the interacting CFT to a free field CFT.
Right.
So that's why the analysis become quite easier.
You're saying in general it's a hard cut.
Right.
Probably generally it won't be exactly marginal.
Probably
not. Okay,
we're not really accustomed to thinking of a D0 and D0 bar turning into something.
But you imagine these too much perturbation where every turn it on you move them apart. I mean, you have two things to play with.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's separation, which is marginal.
Right.
And this mode, which is marginal. So if you keep calling
it. Yeah, of course. Like whichever direction it goes,
necessarily that you have a flat direction. Space.
Oh, you say right. You say no. Once you turn this on, you lose that.
You're right.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah. So it probably is not. It's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.